Good morning.
Hey, Seattle.
As always, it's your girls, Jasmine and Shantae.
Welcome to another Thursday morning and another episode of The Way with Jazz and Tay.
We'll be bringing you lots of laughs and class to get you ready for the day and the weekend ahead.
Will it be the way or not the way? Find out and join the conversation.
Alrighty, guys. Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Way with Jazz and Tay. It's your girl, Jazz, and
Shantae.
And we've got a very special guest with us this week, Guzzy's World, aka.
Yes.
Oh, hello. Thank you. Thanks for jumping in there. What do you go by? Do you prefer to go by Guzzy or?
You can just call me Guzzy, but my platform is Guzzy's World. But yeah, people call me Guzzy.
It's really cool. How did that come about, by the way?
I think like when I was a child, my real name is Gareth. So when I was a baby or like a toddler, my sister just came up with it. I don't know where it's come from. She can't remember. My mum can't remember. But people just call me Guzzy. So, you know, as I got older, you know, when you get through to that age where you start having nicknames, I just thought I'd run with that.
And it's just stuck.
And it's just stuck, yeah.
Love it. That's so cool.
So a little bit more background about Guzzy. He actually also has a podcast and he reached out to us. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about your podcast?
Cool. So basically, guys, I've got a podcast called Man Like Guzzy. Just a disclaimer, it is currently being rebranded. So we've actually took all the episodes down, but it will be coming back in the next couple of weeks. But basically, I speak on current events. So, you know, I'll give my spin on current events and I'll speak about kind of evergreen content, i.e., you know, controversial things like men and women, who cheats more, or just general day-to-day things that we all go through. So, yeah, so that's kind of what I talk about. I try and put a bit of humor in there as well.
Yes, I've definitely noticed that.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I try and do.
I really loved the episode where you talked about B2K and Omarion's mom.
Yeah, this is
because I felt the same way. I was like, what is going on?
It don't make sense, does it? It's just the certain lines that you should never be able to cross.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with Fizz. There's just no loyalty there.
At all.
They're not friends. They're not really friends.
Not at all.
So we're a little off topic.
I know,
that's
right?
A little bit more about Guzzy. That's what we do. We digress a lot.
We do.
Stick with us.
That's fair.
So today we really wanted to bring Guzzy on to just kind of, you know, talk with him because we both have the same kind of podcast. But as you guys can tell, he's from the UK. That's dope.
It is.
And we just wanted to bring him on to talk about another relationship topic. We'll be talking about double standards within relationships. So we just wanted to make the whole episode about relationships. We're going to kick it off with some icebreaker questions. And I'm really excited about all of them.
Cool.
All right, Jazz, kick it off.
So let's see. Icebreaker questions. Oh, okay.
Wait. Sorry.
Pause.
I do want to touch on a topic, Guzzy, before we jump into that.
Okay, that's cool.
Sorry. I'm really into this episode right now, and so I'm completely forgetting the fact that there's a pandemic that's, like, ravaging the world.
That's a fact.
And so I did want to talk to you about that. Since you're in London, like, how is that affecting you guys? What are you guys seeing?
Yeah.
I'm in a place called Harrogate at the moment, so it's not, it's different, it's about 4 hours from London, but it's still the UK.
Okay.
But how it's affecting us is, essentially, we're all stuck in the house, you go to a shopping centre, and you've got to queue outside just to get some groceries.
Yeah.
It's very boring, and we're all just trying to survive. That's kind of where we're at. Everyone's a bit deflated at the moment. And it's kind of funny. It's like the more spare time we've got, the less we want to do. It's just made us all lazy. Like, we just can't do anything. You know what I mean? Sometimes I'm too tired to sleep. I can't even be bothered to sleep sometimes. That's kind of where we're at. But we're riding through, and I think on tomorrow, our Prime Minister, he's got some information for us about getting out of lockdown.
Okay.
So that's a good thing.
How long have you guys been on lockdown? When did it start for you guys over there?
Let me think. I think, is this March the 22nd?
Oh, okay. So just a few days after us. I think officially for us in Seattle, we were told to start staying home about March 16th.
Really? And how are you girls coping with lockdown?
It's funny that you asked that, because pretty much the same thing that you said, I know I definitely can say that I related to. There was like 2 weeks on end where I was just like doing whatever.
Yeah.
You know, just no routine, not a care in the world, what responsibilities, you know, just forgetting about the fact that, like, okay, this is actually going on for an extended period of time, and I can't just live my life like that.
Yeah.
But definitely feeling the, you know, the boredom factor to an extent. Shantae and I, we always find something to do. Like, we can entertain ourselves.
Absolutely. I think we started off the first month with a bunch of projects, and that really carried us through.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. You mean projects for the Way show?
The Way, our house. Yeah. We're actually roommates. So that's also
Yes, we live together.
That's cute, man. I like that. I like that. Yeah. You're like, yeah, that's cute. I like that.
We're not alone. We actually have another roommate. Yeah, there's three of us here. Yeah. It's entertaining always.
Yeah. We all bring something different to the table, you know, and like, you know, last night, for example, we were playing Heads Up, and just, you know, we always find something to do. So that part's been a relief, but definitely, like, there are days also when we just keep to ourselves, because it just is one of those days. Some days it really gets to us.
Because of lockdown, do you find yourself going to the shops more than usual?
Or not? Kind of.
I find myself going on walks a lot.
Okay, that's good.
I know that for us, we are kind of paranoid about going to shops because
I am.
We notice that a lot of people around us don't necessarily take the same precautions that we might.
That's the fact.
And there are some local groceries also who are just doing the bare minimum, and it just doesn't make you feel comfortable. So we really try to if we do have to go, we kind of limit it, you know, what do we need and out?
I totally understand that. To be fair, I'm quite reckless. I have no gloves. I don't have a mask. I just roll and do what I'm doing. And it's not a good thing, but I don't know. I think it's out of laziness, really.
You got to get you a mask.
Yes.
I know. I need to get a mask.
You know what? We're going to send you a link to a girl who's got some cool mask.
Really?
Yeah. Shop Dream Luna. Well, are they all kind of the money one? The money one. There's a money mask.
There's all black. There's gray. You know, there's.
Is it like the mask equivalent of Durex?
Yes.
Essentially, yes.
Yes. I used to have a money Durex, you know.
She's got some pretty funny patterns, some cool ones. Yeah.
I might invest.
You said invest in that?
Yeah, I might invest in a mask.
Do you guys have any inclination or idea of when you guys might get out of lockdown?
I think we're looking at, is it September? So is that the end of phase five? I think September-ish.
What?
About September-ish. We'll be the official where everything is open back up.
Wow.
Why is that? Why are you girls going to be opening up before?
It's not that. It's just kind of we all have our own ideas, kind of how this is going to go. And we've got a few other people who are in other places as well. So it's just crazy getting another perspective. And it's just
it's humbling, I guess, or just
it's so making my hands sweat, yeah, to be honest.
Yeah. So what do you girls think then? When from your knowledge and what you've seen and what people are saying, when do you think you're going to be getting released from lockdown?
So based off what the governor of Washington put out recently, like the new policy says we'll be in lockdown for like 12 weeks. They're reopening the state in phases. There's four phases.
Starting May 4th. This all, like, the phase started May 4th. So we're about a week.
One.
Yeah, we're about a week in right now.
And each phase is a minimum of 3 weeks. Okay. So we're hoping that we'll be out by July.
It's ambitious. Well, it's very ambitious.
So here's the thing, you know, and like we can follow up and like show you what it's looking like, you know, but like phase four is still not even like at 100%, if that makes sense, you know. So
you mean it's not 100% guaranteed?
No,
each phase can change based on the numbers.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then like phase four, so as far as us going back out into the public and being able to like go to bars and whatnot. It would still be at, like, say, 50% capacity and, like, still complying with all the social distancing requirements and whatnot. So,
of course. Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, we're still able to go out. We're now able to go out and do these things, which is like, thank God, here's our freedom. But it's also like, oh, yeah, there's still that lingering pandemic.
If we're talking about when will it be 100% back to normal? Don't think we're looking at March next year. That's right. What I think before it's normal. It's not going to be normal for a long time.
I don't even think that we're going back to normal. It's going to be something new going forward.
That's interesting. You might be onto something there.
We're going to have to learn to adapt, but things are not going back to the way they were.
Because, like, say, you know, we get the vaccine, but how are you going to regulate that everybody is getting it? And how are you going to regulate that it's working for everyone?
You know how they do that? Give Americans fucking free healthcare.
Oh, yeah, you'll have to pay for that, don't you?
Yo.
Is it expensive? Like, I don't know, because I just go to the NHS.
Let me put something into perspective for you, because we just actually watched something last night that was kind of shed some light on that.
Yeah.
There's this, we watched this episode of this cut video on YouTube. It's a channel. And it was like, you know, match the drug to the user.
Okay.
And this lady had some kind of rare like copper deficiency or something. Mm. And she had to take this medication in order to, you know, survive to balance it out.
Yeah.
And she said that without insurance, one day's worth of medication is $40,000.
No, behave yourself. How?
Yo, and what I said immediately following that was, hey, when you do not have a high demand for that kind of like medication, in which what she has is extremely rare, so there's not that many people that need it, you can mark it up like that. That's what these drug companies out here do.
But, like, ethically.
So there was that huge scandal a few years ago as well with, like, the HIV drug where it was, like, sold and bought by somebody. And he immediately tried to, like, market it up, like quadruple of what it was to make it almost impossible. Yeah. And they were like, okay, no. You cannot do that because there are so many people who will literally die without this drug and they will no longer be able to afford it.
That's horrible.
That's the American drug system for you. It's literally just like a
big pharma.
Yeah.
It does. That's my experience with what I've heard about American people who I know. It's almost like, I don't know. They sell it like the weed man sells weed. It's weird. It's like, it's just a product. It just sounds like a product to me. They're just trying to sell a product to the people.
And you know, doctors, you know, these pharmaceuticals, you know, they'll go around and they'll like sell these drugs to, you know, clinics and whatnot.
Yeah.
And these doctors are then now like, well, hey, I bought this product. I now have to push it. I have to get rid of it or I have to sell it.
Yeah.
You know, so regardless. Wow. Yeah, thinking about if it's an actual candidate that might need it or might actually benefit from it, they don't care. They just need to get rid of it.
It's crazy because they're supposed to be in the business of saving lives. Anyway.
If you can afford it.
You know, can you pay to live?
Yeah.
We've digressed yet again. That's another great topic for another day.
Yeah, I agree.
But now that we've kind of touched the coronavirus, let's get into it. Let's get into the icebreakers, even though I feel like we're all warm.
We're definitely warm.
Yeah. It's warm. It's warm.
But these icebreaker questions are definitely going to bring us back into the whole theme of the of today's episode, so surrounding relationships.
Cool.
The one that I want to start with is, what is the best dating advice you've ever received, and who gave you that advice?
Okay. When I was young, probably like 14, 15, and I can hear him say it now. My uncle said, never play in the snow without your Wellingtons. That was the best.
Are those like rain boots or like snow boots?
Yeah, you'd call them snow boots.
But I get the metaphor.
You get the analogy, yeah. And it's a fact as well. It's a fact. So that's probably my best. In fact, there's one more. Can I say one more?
Of course, absolutely.
And one of my barbers, rest in peace, who called Mr.
Shop,
T.
Shop talk.
Yes. He was our barber in, I come from a city called Sheffield, and it was like a bit of a legend in Sheffield, this barber called Mr. T. And I remember one time he was telling me, it's when I was a teenager again, and he said, never lay in bed with a woman unless you prepare to have children with that woman. And I know it sounds simple, but it's deep.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense, you know what I mean? So them two, one's from my uncle and one's from my old barber, they're the two best relationship like words of wisdom.
Well, that second one is deep because, you know, like, accidents happen.
Facts.
There are also so many people out here who were just like, you know, like, an accident happened. And like, this wasn't supposed to happen. This is not who I would have made this. Yeah. So I.
Exactly.
That's a good one. I might need to like store that and bring that back. Well, actually, no. Let me apply this to myself.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a hard rule to live by, but it's a good rule to live by.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm trying to think. I think, honestly, some of the best dating advice that I've gotten is, like, from people that I've dated and then just through my friends. I can't say my parents, neither of them ever really, like, talked to me about stuff like that. And when I ever tried to, I just was, like, my mom would always laugh at me because I was young. She's like, you don't know what you're talking about. This is stupid. I'm not going to entertain this. And then my dad's crazy, so I just can't even have a conversation.
Crazy how?
That's a loaded question.
Crazy. Like, do you mean like crazy, crazy? Or just crazy?
Crazy in the sense of, like, I mean, I definitely do believe there is some mental health issues there. But also, he's just... he's somebody who's hard to talk to. His beliefs are just kind of out there. He's very into like conspiracies. So I would definitely say crazy, but also he's kind of mean and nasty. And...
okay.
So anyways, that's my dad.
Yes.
Moving along. I can't necessarily say anyone in particular, but my friends have definitely opened my eyes up to the reality of a lot of things when it comes to dating, and me being able to see things like from outside of a relationship. I was always so caught up in my relationship and like, you know, I'm doing this, they're not doing that, rather than, okay, what can we do collectively, or what are my, say, quote unquote toxic traits as well. You know, I'm so quick to point the finger and not looking at myself.
I'm glad you said that, you know, because we all do have toxic traits as well, don't we?
Absolutely.
And it's like with growth as a person, and when you can be transparent with yourself, you can start to acknowledge that, you know. So it's good that you said that.
I'm gonna say the best dating advice came from my mom. Mm. I feel like, honestly, I've got a few examples, but my mom kind of made me a go-getter. There was this boy that I liked freshman year in high school, and I was like, but I don't want to ask him out. Like, that's not my job. But, like, I just really wanted to date him.
What does freshman actually mean?
First year in high school. So, like,
is high school the equivalent to UK's college?
I think so.
Do you call university college?
No, college is 16 to 18 usually. University is like 18 to like 22.
Freshman is 9, so like high school is 9 through 12.
So like 14 to 18.
Usually. Fair enough. Okay, cool.
So freshman year for us is usually like between 14 and 15.
Right. Okay, cool. Cool. I understand. Oh,
yeah. I was like, was I good? But freshman year, I really liked this boy. And she was like, you know what, Shantae, you might just have to ask him out yourself. And you know what? The worst thing he can say. And I was like, no. And she's like, exactly. Mm. And how many times have you heard me tell you no as well? And you'll be okay. And I was like, dang. And I did. I asked him out and he said yes. Ooh, so I shot my shot and yeah. So shout out to my mom.
And how did that relationship go in general?
It was freshman year. It was real like texting. We played basketball, so he and I played basketball together. Yeah, like all of, I used to go to his house and like one of his friends played with him as well. And then one of my friends lived down the street. So we'd all just get together and play hoops together.
Oh, that sounds cute, man.
That was in Florida. Or we'd go to the movies. Yeah.
That's literally high school shit.
Yeah.
And that was all there was to do in the town I lived in. Sometimes we'd go to Target and just walk around Target.
No, that's different. I don't know about that.
Like, oh, what you guys do today? Oh, you know, we walked around Target. That's it was so romantic.
It's cute when you're young like that, though, because it's like you can be so satisfied with so little. That's what I miss about being young. You know what I mean? I miss that.
Now that you say that, I definitely remember like walking around with my boyfriend in high school at Barnes & Noble. Like, he used to work at Jamba Juice, so like we would get a Jamba Juice and then walk over to Barnes & Noble and just like look through like magazines. We wouldn't even look at books. We would look at all the magazines.
Is Jamba Juice like a smoothie company or something?
Yeah, it's they don't have that many anymore, but it used to definitely be like the Monopoly smoothie place over here. Just very unhealthy smoothies, actually, like very high in sugar and
a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
Like, but don't you find, I don't know if, what you know with the UK kind of food market, but everything in America, from what I've seen, just seems like unhealthy. The food's amazing from what I've tasted.
Oh yeah.
The food is amazing, and from what I've experienced. But everything is just like unhealthy. Like you guys can take something healthy and make it like unhealthy.
It's so funny that you say that. I recently had what's the burger joint?
Katsu Burger.
There's this place out here called Katsu Burger, and they deep fry their meat.
Oh my god!
Yes,
so deep fry the burger patty. So all the burger patties that you get are deep fried.
Yes.
Right.
See, I had one that was a deep fried beef patty with bacon and a fried egg on it and like lettuce to the sky.
Wow. Huge. They're like,
huge.
I can imagine. Like,
you definitely can't put your mouth around it. You can't.
One of my coworkers was like, God bless America.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know why anybody would need this.
And then whenever I go through like
Instagram and I'm looking through all those like food videos, I always find the most disgusting things. Like I saw somebody put a block of Velveeta cheese inside of a turkey and hot cheese.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
The sad part about it was that it looked really good after.
I bet it's was really good. Good.
I was so mad because I was so disgusted with myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that, no, I understand that. I get that. I'm actually, I'm with my American friend at the moment. And she was making us, where is he from? South Carolina. She's technically British, but she lived in the South Carolina from like 14 to 30 something. And I remember one time she was making vegetables. And by the time she'd finished with the vegetables, it might as well have been a dessert. Now, the vegetables was amazing, don't get me wrong. But that's the thing with American people from what I've experienced. It's like, everything's just got to be greasy and everything's just absolutely. Got to be, you know.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Kool-Aid as well. Kool-Aid, I'm like a believer.
Oh, Kool-Aid is delicious.
But amazing, isn't it? I love
it's
it.
Literally sugar water. Literally.
I love it. I love it.
Sugar water, food coloring, and a hint of like flavoring. But
I love it. I love Kool-Aid.
I love that you said that because Kool-Aid's like a guilty pleasure of mine.
I love Kool-Aid.
What's your favorite Kool-Aid flavor?
I like, yeah, mine's purple. Grape.
Ah, I don't think I've ever had grape, have I? No, I've never had grape.
You gotta have grape.
Yeah, I need to try that. I need to try that.
Next icebreaker question. Ooh, okay. What kind of date do you consider romantic? Plan a romantic date night.
Wow. For me?
Yeah.
That's a very hard question. You know, for me, okay. Now, Americans are very big on dating. Like, everyone's like, let's go to the movies, let's go here, let's go there. For me, if we want to talk about like the intimacy of romance, I'm more of a let me cook you a meal. So we'll have a few drinks, we'll eat some food, then I'll draw for music because I feel like if I pick my kind of playlist that I'm going to pick, it's going to set a certain tone. And then we're going to be talking, we're drinking, we're loosening up, we're listening to music. This is all inside the house. So this is inside my house, their house, whatever. But for me, that is the best type of date ever because it's the most intimate. It's the most type of date where you're going to get to know someone, you know, without us going to, you know, escalating all the physical things.
Right, you know? Right.
So I think, you know, home-cooked food, some nice music, some drink, and good conversation, you know, because I'm at an age where I've always been like this from young, but conversation is very important, and it's almost like an art form that people have lost.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's the best kind of date for me. Obviously, once you vibe with someone, if you want to experience going to visit places, you do that together with someone you like. But I don't want to be visiting, you know, I don't want to be doing a nature walk or visiting a castle or a zoo with someone who I don't even like anyway. What's the point? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you have to earn that. Like, let me like you first. Mm-hmm. And if I like you, we can do all that stuff. But that's me. What about you?
I like that you said that. I definitely agree. I've had experiences in both. I had a really, really nice first date once where somebody did that, a gentleman, he made me dinner, we had wine, you know, it was at his home and it was a vibe. The music was nice. Yeah.
And then I've also
had instances in which like somebody's tried to invite me over to that and just, you know, from talking to somebody,
exactly.
That kind of vibe. And I wasn't really into it. I don't think I trusted their intentions, you know? But also, like going to like dinner and a movie, that's just like a traditional kind of date. I don't necessarily like the ideas of going to a movie because like, you can't talk. What are you going to,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
you know, so it's like a nice dinner out is fine, but also the just as intimate having a dinner inside, you know.
Yes, that sounds good. That sounds good.
Yeah, Shantae.
I want a picnic.
Oh.
Yeah. I want a picnic in a park on a sunny day or on a beach or in a drop top like Cadillac somewhere in California Valley with a really good out view. And then we lay on the hood of the car.
That's like an old school romantic. Yes.
Yeah, it sounds very Grease. It sounds very Grease.
No, exactly. That's what I was imagining, like Danny and Sandy.
Yeah.
And then we just sit out there all day and talk. And when it gets dark, light some candles.
Yeah. That sounds
and then you bang.
Then you wow.
He said it, then what?
And then you bang.
Wow.
I mean...
Yo, if you're lighting candles, if it's getting to that point,
just setting a mood.
Now, if you go into the environment and the candles are already lit, that's different. But once you start to light candles, you know what's happening.
The candles and the music playlist, they come hand in hand. They almost come as a joint package, you know. You know what? If you're lighting candles and playing certain styles of music, then it is what it is after
and
that.
And she's big on music, too. Like, she knows what kind of mood she wants to set.
Oh, okay.
I like to call myself a vibe curator.
Really, though?
Wow.
No,
like
she's,
that.
We had this, like, little happy hour at the beginning of all of this quarantine stuff, and she put together this playlist for it. And I didn't know, like, what she kind of had on it. And we were listening to it, and even without thinking about it, I was like, "Oh, what? Like, what playlist is this? What is this?" She's like, "Girl, this is mine."
Music's important, man. There's power. There's a certain kind of energy that comes from music. It's powerful. Yeah. It really is.
I love this shit. Let's do one more icebreaker, and then let's get into double standards.
Oh.
You want to pick it?
Yes. What is an absolute deal breaker for you in dating?
I'm gonna have to dissect the question a little bit. When you say dating, because I've got there's different things. So I can date someone and have no intention to be with them for the rest of my life, if that makes sense. So when we're saying dating, do we just mean just dating or for someone who's going to be a wife? Because they're two different things for me.
That's a good point. Let's answer both. Like, if you're getting to know somebody, what's a deal breaker? And then, like, if you're already with somebody, what would be a reason for you to, like, leave them and not want to be married anymore?
Cool.
Because that changes things. That's a very good,
okay. So for me, it's very, very simple. The things what would usually stop me from even like taking you serious enough to quote unquote date anything other than a one night stand, let's say, if you're a prostitute, if you entertain stuff like OnlyFans and all that kind of stuff, like, you can be beautiful, you can look amazing, but it's never going to go past just the physical enjoyment. Never. Do you see what I mean? And it's just through the moral thing, it's through my upbringing and the way I value people. So you could be the best looking, but I'd rather take an average looking girl who's got morals than an amazing looking girl who doesn't have morals. Do you see what I mean? That's how I weigh it up, because I'm trying to weigh someone up for the longevity, if that makes sense. So, So if you sell sex in any sense of the word, I'm not interested.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's what I'd say.
And then what about now? Say you're dating this person long term, and you guys are building your future together.
Let me think. Okay, if they don't have, I'm going to say nurturing and homely vibes, because being a black boy especially, us black men, we have a certain, there's a certain connection we get with our mothers, depending on how your mum is and how they behave. Now, I'm a mummy's boy. So it's like there's a certain kind of vibe you need from your woman. I'm not saying she needs to be like your mum, but there's a certain connection that a man usually gets with his mum. So I need someone nurturing. Like, if your whole job is, I just look cute, but I can't cook, I can't clean, I'm not practical, I don't have a brain, I can't think. If the only thing you can offer is sexual, you're not really going to be able to do anything for me. Do you know what I mean? So for me, for long term, you need to be nurturing, you need to be caring, you need to be somewhat conscious as well.
Definitely someone who's not superficial. Someone who's
Just being superficial is just, you know, in the long run, it's not gonna work. What about you?
Deal breaker. If we're just starting things off, I would say having no ambition, like just not being aimless, like not knowing what you're trying to do or having any goals in life. Because, you know, like I kind of know what I want to do and I'm okay with somebody who hasn't figured it out, but at least know where you're going. Because I'll support you and help you in any way that I can to get to your goal. Like that's the type of person that I am. But I'm not going to sit around and I don't want to be with somebody that just doesn't know what they're doing. You got to have some goals. We can't be doing the same shit we were doing in like high school or whatever. Like when we were kids, like we're all grown, like you got to evolve. Then if I'm like, in marriage, it's going to have to be cheating off top or like a baby on me, having a baby on me, like or bringing back an STD, like just like cheating in general. I just wouldn't. Like if that's not our agreement, that shouldn't be happening. And
so Shante, just to kind of play devil's advocate. Let's pretend you've been with someone for 6 years, right?
Okay.
You know each other. You might not be pregnant yet, but you have every intention to have a child with this person. But they go out on a work night, you know, someone's leaving, they get too drunk, and they do the mad thing with someone. So they've done the mad thing. You found out about it a month later. So you love this guy or love this girl, this person.
He didn't tell me immediately.
No, because you have to build it up. You have to find a way out.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing, because it's different, too. It's like, am I going to have to find out about it, or are you going to be a man and tell me about it? Because that's different,
He's going to be a man, but he's not going to be a man straight away. He's going to find the perfect time.
Finish your scenario. We're like dissecting it.
So he tells you, so bearing in mind, so he sat you down, you've had a lovely evening together, you've watched a bit of True Blood, everything's good. And then he tells you about cheating on his work night out. Bearing in mind, you are still in love with this person. Could you forgive?
I just feel like everything that was said made it a more solidified no. I wanted to know the moment that it happened.
Then we might be on more grounds for forgiveness.
I'm sorry, you didn't get balls a month after cheating on me. No, I'm just not with that shit. Like, I just feel like, being honest, I feel like a lot of times men will hide or lie about something because they know it's wrong, one, and two, they know it's going to hurt the girl's feelings, and they're trying to protect the girl's feelings, but what they're trying to protect is themselves.
That's a fact.
I just feel like honesty, like if I find out a month later, I'm like, so you've just been sitting on it.
I hear that.
You've had so much opportunity. And you just sat in my face and lied. omitted to tell the truth.
Because it's like, where's the guilt at? Like, you're able to come home and look at me in my face and tell me that you love me, and then still lie about it.
If he tells me right away, I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to go fuck somebody, and then we can move along if you feel like you still want to continue this relationship.
Hey, so what you're saying is...
an eye for an eye.
Absolutely. Oh, that's how we're playing this game? Me too.
Wow. So, let me get this right. So your partner who you love, right?
The cheats on you.
Are you would you get him back? Is that what you're saying?
In all honesty, I wouldn't try to get him back. I would break up with him. Like me who I am, I'd break up with him. There's just a little bit of disrespect, and that's something about me. I don't like to feel disrespected. And I'd be like, I feel like when you're in a relationship with somebody, you've built something and you guys have this mutual understanding between each other that, like, we're going to be honest and communicate. But
agreed.
So I want to add on to that because I haven't given my answer yet, but my answer definitely is connected and related to that. I am somebody who I'm open to a lot of things when it comes to relationship. And if we've gotten to a point in our relationship in which you feel like you need to cheat on me, we obviously don't need to be in this relationship. In my past relationships, you know, we've explored an open relationship, or we've explored like threesomes and things. What was that?
I felt like you was going to say that.
So here's the thing: an open relationship did not work. We like honestly, briefly touched on it, and it was just not a thing because of where we were in our relationship. There had been like broken trust, and so it wasn't anything that we could do. You know, our relationship wasn't built to withstand something like that. If maybe I had met somebody else and those intentions were communicated from the jump, it might have been different. Because I established that from the jump, and there's no feelings going to be hurt, you know, because it's been talked about. So that's why for me, if in our relationship you are cheating on me and or we're not talking about anything leading up to it or whatever, then we don't need to be together at all.
That's because fair.
You know, I am not somebody who's going to be in my feelings if maybe you want to bring somebody else into a, you know, the bedroom. But if you're gonna lie and hide it, that's where the disrespect comes into play. That's where I feel like, no, I don't need to forgive you for this because this was communicated from the jump that we were not going to do that.
Yes, it's the dishonesty part, isn't it? It's the betrayal and the lies and the deceit where the issue comes. Like if you meet someone and they're just about that life and they're just doing what they're doing, then you can emotionally almost put restrictions on how invested you're going to be from the start.
Right.
So I get that.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And to go back to like dating and whatnot, just somebody who I guess you could say is maybe intent on trying to change you, or somebody who doesn't want to date me for me, or like I had somebody who, and this is just like an example that is not like a huge thing, but as far as like religion goes, religion was very huge and very big in this person's life, and it's not so much for me. And so it was something that I felt like, you know, if we're going to like date each other, we should talk about this. And if it's going to be a problem, then maybe we don't need to date one another. And we talked about it, and because it was a bigger deal for them than it was for me, I was just kind of like, okay, well, you know, I don't necessarily see this changing, so maybe we need to keep it pushing.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to let it go. You know, he was very persistent on trying to change my mind, or, you know, giving me reasons as to why
I should also agree with him or see things his way. And
yeah,
I'm all about having a healthy discussion and we don't have to agree, but like, I also don't need you to try to persuade me.
Yes, I understand that. I understand that.
You try to convert me, essentially, yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, what religion was it, if you can say?
Yeah, just Christianity. And, you know, like, I grew up going to church, you know, believing in God and whatnot. So it's not like I'm totally like, oh, no. You know, it wasn't anything like that. It was just like, you know, I don't, you know, go to church every Sunday. I don't pray regularly. I'm not going to pray before every meal. That's something that he did. And, you know, like, it just, it was way more a part of his life than it's something that I want to make a part of my daily life. So.
Yeah, I get that.
Especially because you guys barely knew each other.
Literally, so this started because of a one night stand. Like, this is already just something that shouldn't have happened. Yeah.
I just feel like religion can be a big part, but don't try to convert me off the first date. Like, that's a lot.
Because I respect any and all religions, you know. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life and how to go about it at all. So I respect the same in return.
Yeah, that's fair.
Absolutely. So now that we've talked about deal breakers, let's get into double standards. The big D. Not really. So we just wanted to talk about double standards because I feel like recently we've been seeing a lot on the internet that portray or relay like double standards within relationships or between men and women.
Tayo and I often talk about relationships and our experience, but we very rarely get to have a male perspective touch on these things, especially when it comes to double standards. So why not address this while we've got it with you?
It makes sense. Yeah, I get that.
Okay, so what does everybody like think a double standard is?
That's a big question.
Just ask high level, like,
double standards. So basically I am allowed to say and do what I want, when I want, with who I want. However, if you, being my partner, go and do the same thing, it's a problem.
Someone is looking at me now, and when you girls are talking, they're pointing at me, so they're saying that me, that I am.
Bless. See, she knows. Yeah. So that's what I think. That's what I think a general understanding could be of double standards.
I agree. I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Shantae, do you have a textbook definition?
I got you guys. It was the lead up. A double standard is the application of different sets of principles for situations that are, in principle, the same, and is often used to describe an advantage that is given to one party over another.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so like based off of that, it's really interesting that we led into it with deal breakers, because I'd like to know from our deal breakers that we said we have, do we feel the same applies to us? So if you were in a relationship and you cheated, do you want them to break up with you or do you want them to take you back? That would be for me. If you said cheating as well.
But like, that's the thing. I don't feel like I would cheat. I feel like, you know.
This is hypothetical.
True.
Does the standard also apply to you?
Of course. I would want to be treated with the same, yeah. So as much as I would hate it, of course. I made the decision. I made my bed. I got to lay in it.
See, you know what? It's a good topic, this, because honestly with me, I've definitely cheated before. I've definitely been honest about cheating. I've definitely been forgiven. And I've definitely wanted /expected to be forgiven as well. And I suppose that does buy into your double standards category. So if I cheated,
I have a question for you.
Go on, man.
So you said your deal breaker, let's see, you're in marriage would be to be non-nurturing or caring. What about you?
Yeah, are you nurturing? Are you caring? Can you cook? Can you,
are you also taking care of her?
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
The laugh, I feel like, answered that.
Flipping shit on its head.
Someone's laughing at me, almost like I'm not. And that's, they don't even mean it's, I would say I'm nurturing. I'd say I'm nurturing. I'm definitely caring.
Yeah.
I'm very selfish though. Yeah. After being
we all are though.
Yeah, I'm selfish. So it's like sometimes my intention in my mind might not quite match up with my physical actions.
Okay.
But my mental intention is there. Do you see what I mean? Do you know like how you can take people for granted sometimes?
Yes, I see that. So yeah. Now, are you good at communicating, though? Like, you're saying, you know what your intentions are, and you know how how you feel. Are you good at communicating that if you're not always good at physically actively showing that?
Yes, I can communicate. I can communicate it, do you know what I mean? I can talk the talk. And I say it with conviction, and I do mean it when I say it, you know. But it doesn't always transcend through to the actions. I think is probably one of my main weaknesses with that.
See, but that's huge within itself, because a lot of guys are not good at that, at communicating those kinds of things. You know, I've seen it where guys are great at, you know, well, he shows me this, he shows me that, but I never know what he's thinking. I never know where he's at. Yeah. I don't know what we're doing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand that. I got that.
Let's get into another example of a double standard. I really like where we started, you guys. So I'm going to go with yours. Jasmine has that women are often expected to compromise more than our male counterparts, seen as less than or less valuable. Ooh, do you want to give us a little bit more on your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So, I've seen it personally through like my parents' relationship. I've even seen it in my own relationship. And then I've seen it in outside relationships, say where maybe a coworker, for example, her husband is so quick to be like, oh, you know, well, honey, do you mind if you stop and grab this and that? Because, you know, like, yeah, I can't. Meanwhile, she also still has to go and drop the kid off and then go get dinner ready. And like, so in that aspect of like, you know, selfish, we're all a little bit selfish, so I'm sure he's thinking about what his plate is. His plate's probably very full,
but her
is also extremely full, and him adding these extra two little tasks, you know, might not be anything because maybe his job's more important. He's making more money than she is, you know. Whereas, you know, her time and what she does is just as important, if not more important, you know. And say if maybe he comes home and dinner's not ready, or the house isn't in tip-top shape, and maybe, you know, the kids running around the house, like, babe, what's going on? Did you also pick up those two things? Well, no, honey, I didn't get a chance to, because little Jason had an accident, and then the food was burning, and then A, B, and C, or D. It's like those situations, but then also women are expected to maybe stay home with the kids over going to work and following their dreams. And I see that in relationships and marriages where wives and spouses sometimes put a lot of their dreams and what they like to do on the back burner or on hold because, you know, their husband can't.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand.
So I really like this topic, but what I'd like to ask is that I feel like this is a very American standard.
Yeah.
So Guzzy,
yes,
would you say definitely that this is a double standard or something that, you know, people feel or are affected by in the UK? Like, is it the same?
What I would say is, okay, so in the UK, there is it's definitely more American, because the whole kind of, the man is the breadwinner and the woman looks after the kids. With men and women all around the world, there is a lot of that, but definitely in America, it's all about the man treating the woman like a princess, but the woman has to do absolutely everything. That's the kind of vibe I get. It's always, you know, the man buying the woman this and taking the woman there. UK is definitely more equal in the sense of we're happy for our women. I can only speak for myself, but if my woman earns more than me, that is not even a problem. Mm-hmm. The better my woman does, better for me. Because if I do settle with you, our kids are even going to be better. I'd rather have a woman who earns more than me than a woman who doesn't have no ambition. So if you said that I could have a woman who just cooks and cleans but doesn't work, or a woman who's got a good job and she does pulls her weight with cooking and cleaning, I'll pick the good job and the pulls away every time.
Yeah,
every time. That's not an issue to me at all. So I do think we are in general, but the thing is, I think women, I'm not saying women are better than men, but just because of
but
the
we
women
are.
But yeah, you know, and actually agree.
I wouldn't disagree, you know.
Because you women, you're there's a certain, especially with the kind of women I've been raised around, my mother, my sisters, my cousins, my aunties, there's a certain resilience and a certain kind of autopilot that the women I've seen in my life can tap into, what I can't. I'll be honest, as a 30-year-old man, I still can't tap into maybe what my sister could do when she was 24, 25. Mm-hmm. We're just different. Do you see what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm always going to say that I'm never going to say men are more superior than women, because if I had to trust running a household or running my life, there's more women I could count on to do that than men, if I'm totally honest. So that's what I genuinely think. I genuinely think that. You know, however, though, what comes with that, though, is there is definitely double standards. What the certain things I can do, what I wouldn't expect my sister to do, I wouldn't expect my partner to do. Do you see what I mean?
Which yes.
There's definitely double standards, but it just goes with the territory.
Yeah, but like there's certain things that like a man shouldn't have to do versus certain things that like a woman shouldn't have to do, and that's a part of what makes the relationship actually cohesive and a healthy relationship.
Yeah. Exactly, I hear that.
Guzzy, do you have an example of a double standard that you kind of want to analyze?
Okay, I think what's a nice one? Okay,
It doesn't have to be nice.
Okay.
You know, double standard for me. Now, do you want me to give you an example where I'm agreeing with it or disagreeing with it?
Either or. Like, yeah, whatever from your perspective or your experience. Okay.
So a double standard, which is a massive one, is kind of how we judge. If we talk about in a sexual context, how we judge how like a woman could do the same thing as a man, but a man is celebrated for it, mm-hmm. and a woman is not trashed for it, but you know, we call them hoes.
Slut shamed.
And it is a massive double standard, but I totally get it at the same time. And this is a thing what a lot of like even like women who's been in my life, they'll say, yeah, but why can you say that? Because you did X, Y, Z. My issue, and I know this is a double standard, but it's almost like hardwired into me, is if I do all the crud and if I've done some dumb stuff, as a man, I almost feel that if we just strip it back to the basics of the hardwired biology of the man spreading the seed and the woman, you know, carrying the child for 9 months and setting up the nest. I feel that's why men get away with more. So if I was to go, like, if I went to a club tomorrow and kissed 2 girls and got 5 numbers, and my counterpart, who is a woman who's lived a similar life like me, similar age, did the same, I still think it's worse if she did that. Even though it's a double standard, I still think it's worse.
I definitely get your perspective, because I feel like, you know, I feel like there are times where I feel 50-50 split. Like, there are definitely women who I say, who I'm like, I wouldn't act like that, because that's just not how I move.
That's
not to say what you're doing is wrong, but like, for me, at the end of the day, everybody's an individual, and how you choose to lose your life live your life is completely up to you, and it has nothing to do with me. So like, I get it. That's your personal preference. Like, you know, you don't have to be with that, because it's just not how you're raised and it's not how you move. And I feel like, I think that's what makes all of us unique, is that we have variant thought processes. We can't all think the same thing, because then we'd be fucking robots.
Exactly.
And I think that what's important is to sit down with each other and be able to hear a variant perspective from yours, and be able to have the conversation and be like, you know what, I understand you and I appreciate you for that. Because I don't agree with you either. I feel the exact opposite. But I respect that you feel that way. And I see it.
I definitely feel that way.
I just feel like, I agree with you. I see where you're coming from. But at the end of the day, for me, no man's dictating how I move. I also feel like sex is for pleasure. And I like to have sex. So I'm going to be out here. And if you have a problem with it, then we're not for each other. And that's fine. But like, you don't have to disrespect me, and you don't have to talk mean about me. We just don't have to fuck with each other, and that's that. But like, in that way, like, we can be friends or whatever if you want it to be. But like, in a relationship space, like, that's just how I would move about it.
Yeah, I get that. I understand that. That's fair.
That's not a bad thing. I mean, we've talked about this often. You know, we do share the same kind of thoughts and whatnot about that, but
I'm actually also really glad that you brought this example up, because this was my example.
It was actually going to come up, so it was perfect.
That's good.
And I'm really glad that we got your perspective, because I was going to go the opposite route, you know? But I think we can wrap it up. Guzzi, before we wrap it up, can you wrap it up? Sorry, I'm being childish. Can you tell our listeners where they can find your podcast and what your Instagram is, so that they can follow you? And then we'll go back and we'll do a recap.
Thank you. All right, cool, girls. So basically, guys, if you type in Guzzi's World on Instagram and Facebook, that's, if you go to Guzzi's World on Instagram, you will see anything else I do, because I am a radio presenter as well in the UK. So anything, what I'm doing, my podcast, radio, it's all the links will be on my Instagram. And there is a new Instagram page, which is purely going to be for my podcast, which is being rebranded. So there's no content there yet, but it will be there soon. And that's called Man Like Guzzi on Instagram. So that's Guzzi spelled G-U-Z-Z-I. And then, yeah, if you follow me on them, you'll see everything I'm doing. It's all there.
I love the accent, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you for having me as well. It's been emotional. It's been nice.
I know you and your partner are probably going to have some things to talk about.
She's just giggling, you know, giggling in the background, because she feels like some of the things you've said has almost validated her beliefs now.
Yeah. So we got you. You are not alone.
Which is fine.
We are not crazy, okay?
Yeah, no, I don't believe it.
Don't let them think that.
Right.
Tell us that. Okay, we're going to do a recap. Basically, cool. We're going to go back through and say whether or not it was the way or not the way.
Okay.
Coronavirus lockdown, obviously, is still not the way. However, I will say learning about how it's been for you and your perspective and getting your take on the timeline, which was kind of sobering, that was definitely the way. Yeah.
You know what? So the way is the good thing then. So if I say the way, it's like, so if someone cooked me food tomorrow and I tasted it, and it tasted disgusting, I could say that's not the way.
No,
exactly.
I'm gonna take that. I like that.
Yeah, like that. It's not the way.
That's the way. Yeah, I like that.
I would agree.
Yeah, definitely the way.
Icebreakers. Best dating advice. I would say all around that was the way.
Yeah.
I really love hearing your story.
I'm probably going to use yours, the one that your uncle gave you about don't lay with nobody that you don't want to have.
No, yes, that's the bar, but that's the second one.
Oh, my
one.
Bad. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
That's cool. Use that one.
Yeah. RIP to your barber, but thank you for that gem.
Yep.
God, you're welcome. You deserve it.
Planning out our romantic date. That was the way.
Is that the way? Yeah. That's good. That's good. I like that.
I'm hoping somebody will listen to this and do that for me. I want a picnic.
I'm trying to say this is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And yours was a genuine answer too. Like, it's something that I can get on board with. It wasn't anything that was kind of like corny or cheesy. So totally.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Do we want to do deal breakers? Deal breakers in general are not the way.
Yeah, no. Not the way at all.
I agree.
But establishing intent and what your deal breakers are from the jump, that's the way.
The way.
Absolutely.
I got these flicks.
Double standards in relationships.
I say that's not the way, technically.
Right.
It's not the way. If we're going to be like ethical and moral, it's not the way.
Right.
But the selfish part of the
thing. Right. But like the fact that double standards do exist, like that's not.
Knowing that they exist, recognizing them, and being able to talk about them like this, having open conversation and dialogue is the way.
Yes.
It's the way. I like that. I like how this works.
That's how you cultivate healthy relationships and Absolutely. Conversations. So.
I like that.
Well, Gezi,
that's cool.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I feel like we have to get you back on for another one. This is so much
definitely,
fun.
Girls. I'm here. And you know what? When I've got my podcast up and running again, I need you girls to do one on my podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hands
that
down.
Would be the way.
We would love to.
It would absolutely be the way.
Thank you, girls. I appreciate that.
No problem. Cool. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to our special edition of The Way. Talk to you next time.
As always, thank you so much for tuning into The Way. Catch you next week, same time, same place.
Follow us on Instagram at The Way Jazz and Tay and on Twitter at The Way JT.
Don't be afraid to DM us if you have any questions or suggestions about the show. Until next time, bye.
Peace.